Welcome, Shkoyach for coming. Like Ravitcher says, the Gvaldika Kiddush Hashem, that we group together for a Dvar Halacha. I'd like to thank Madison Teitel for once again arranging these events. Today I would like to discuss the topic of Bar Mitzvah. I want to share with the Olam a true story. Actually, I would like to share numerous stories, Dinei Torah, that happened with Bar Mitzvah. And through these stories, case history, we'll be able to get a better understanding the limitations of a Bar Mitzvah. Bar Mitzvah, as we all know, is a very common halacha. We get these shailas all the time, especially when real estate's hot and then starting workshop to pick up. It's often, however, not negeya halachically. That means, yes, there's a matter subject to the halachas of Bar Mitzvah, but often we're going to see that there are many exceptions to the rule, and therefore Bar Mitzvah is not applicable. And we'll go through today, hopefully a half a dozen, perhaps, or more exclusions to the rule. Let's just start off with a story. Maisa Shoyek Achoye here in Lakewood. There was somebody who was looking. He had a house, but he needed a larger house. And he was looking to buy a lot. And he came up with a gewaldic idea. His next door neighbor has a massive side yard. And what he'll do is he'll convince his neighbor to cut the property, subdivide his property into two, and he'll purchase the side yard, and from that he'll be able to have a property and he'll build a house. The neighbor was desperate. The neighbor was short behind in his mortgage. They already started to foreclose on his house. So it'll be a gewaldic win-win situation. The neighbor will have some capital to pay off the loan, and he'll be able to have a property. Now, the side yard wasn't the side yard adjacent to his property, but it actually was on the other side of the neighbor's property. So let's just say the story was that he was on the north side of the neighbor's property, and the side yard is the south side of the neighbor's property. He had a deal with his neighbor. The neighbor actually gave it to him at a discounted price. It was undervalued because the neighbor was desperate to raise funds, and also because he offered his services to subdivide the property. They had no idea how to do this, and he knew how to go through the red tape, and not that it's so red, but he knew how to go through the process and get the property subdivided. So because of that, he got a great deal. After he had this meeting of the minds, he had this deal in place with the neighbor, with the seller. The other neighbor, means on the other side of the property, the one who was actually bordering this south side yard, said, "Me too. I also want this property. Great idea. I'll do the exact same thing. I'll also subdivide for you, and I want to take over the property." And he wanted to exercise his rights of Bar Mitzvah to be able to assume the first person's position. That was the Shaila. So before we go into the Shaila, I just want to give a backdrop. Where does Bar Mitzvah come from? What is Bar Mitzvah? We never came across a pasuk that talks about Bar Mitzvah. So it really comes from the Rava Magid, a beautiful Rava Magid. I'm not going to do it justice, but I'll just say over Bekitz, the Rava Magid says that Vesisa v'yoshev v'toiv. The pasuk says we have to be yoshev v'toiv in our dealings. In our anhogis and midas have to be yoshev v'toiv. So like the Rava Magid, that is a cloud that the Torah is giving us. It's a general rule. How to apply that general rule? That we need chazal for. The Torah can't be busy to give all the details of every single prad, of every single anhaga toiva that a person is supposed to choose. That we need chazal. And under the banner of Asisa v'yashav ha-toiv, chazal instituted many halachas. Some of them are halachas lechatchila, a person should be noig. Some are, if a person is over it, he actually, there's recourse, he has to give it back. And one of them is Bar Mitzvah. If a person goes ahead and buys the property, comes in and buys a property neighboring somebody else, where that property could benefit that existing neighbor, there's Vasisa v'yachayv, you should have stayed away. And if you didn't stay away, yes, Chazal slaps on you that you have to give that property back to that neighbor. In other words, Chazal made a halacha, this, the hagdara of the halacha is that unbeknownst to you, you were acting on behalf of that neighbor. You became, by default, his shliach. And Mamela, the deal retroactively, if you closed on the deal retroactively, the deal is really the neighbor's. It's as if he's the buyer, and when we sign the deed goes under the neighbor's name, not your name. And it has many halachas how this plays it, which we're not going to tonight. But basically, that's how Chazal created this takana, that you become by default a shliach for the neighbor. Why did they do this? Where is the lacking of asisa v'yashav ataif? Well, Chazal say that who asked you to come here? This property could benefit me. I could have two properties that are touching each other, and I can enlarge my existing property. It could be beneficial to my existing property for numerous reasons. We'll discuss some of them. And therefore, who asked you to encroach on my territory? Go buy somewhere else. Go buy in a different area that there are no neighbors, or there are neighbors who don't care for the property, but I do care for this property, and therefore you had no right to step on me. So it's v'sisa v'ayashav ataif. We need Chazal to be kaveya. This is v'sisa v'ayashav ataif, to stay away and let him have the property, because for him the property is so much more meaningful, so much more worthwhile, so much more beneficial than for me. For me it's a property. For him it expands his existing lot, and he could do one to his existing lot. That's v'sisa v'ayashav ataif. Hayoyis v'sisa v'ayashav ataif is the klal, and bametz is really just one of the pratim. It's a prat that Chazal will kaveya. It's only a derabanan. Only, I mean, the one we also have to be careful for. But what does that mean? That it's a shikul, it's a consideration that the rabbanan played, put into place. They established a takana called bametzra. Because of it's only a shigol, it's only a consideration, so now, like the Rav HaMagid continues, and he says that it's up to Chazal to be kiveya when that consideration really is required. It's not an absolute halacha. Had there been a pasuk in the Torah called Bametzra, finished. Bametzra is absolute across the board, no exceptions to the rule. But because it's based on a v'sisa v'yashav ataif, now it's up to Chazal to decide when is there a v'sisa v'yashav ataif because of Bametzra and when there's not. Maybe there's other considerations that we have to take into consideration that will say, no, this negates Bametzra. Yes, for you it's gewaldic, but maybe there's something that makes it gewaldic for the seller to sell it to a third outside buyer, and therefore Mechateisa, your consideration should be more meaningful than the seller. Or maybe there should be other considerations that play itself out, which we'll see Mi'at Hashem in this year, and that negates the halacha Bametzra. So it's a shikul, and it's only Chazal who are the masters of human nature, the masters of Midas HaAdam, who know what Bisoid is considered Toiv Yasha, and when a person has to be knowing that to be Mesakin is Midas and when not. It's only up to Chazal to be Kaveh for us what those exceptions are. But I can tell you in the Halacha, there are more than a dozen exceptions. And because of those exceptions, you'll see that this Halacha is like, to quote the words of the Rashba, Chuvah Rashba, it's the Din Rafuf. Yes, there's a banner called V'sisa v'ataif, and we all have to know it, and we all have to be considerable to the neighbor. But having said that, you'll see that more often than not, rave of the times, at least one of these dozen exceptions are applicable, and memela lahalacha, rave cases do not have the ability to exercise bametzra, which we're going to see. That's the backdrop. That bametzra is a derabanan because of a v'sisa v'ataif, and because of that, we have to take into consideration everyone's taif v'yasha. All right, that's the backdrop. Now let's go back to our case. So our case was a person came up with a gewaldica patent. He's going to subdivide his neighbor's lot. That alone, because he thought of the idea, is not an exception to the rule. So what? You thought of the idea? I could do the same? Stay away. So that would allow the buyer to step in. Now the buyer happens to be a neighbor as well, but halakhically he's not considered a neighbor. Because the lumdus of Bametzra is, there's a mile of having two properties touching each other. There's a mile of having two properties continuous, congruous, one with the other. I expand my existing property. The lumdus of Bametzra is not that there's a sort of a right of first refusal, the Chazal or Kaveya, that a person can amass properties and amass wealth. That's not the Maila, it's not the Kavana Chazal. Kavana Chazal is that if I have an existing property, if I'll have another property next door, it can improve my existing property. Let's take a simple case. I'm a farmer. I plow my field. I harvest my crops. If I'll have another property right next door, it's like Ner Le'ech and Ner Le'meh. That same shore that's plowing can continue to plow with minimal cost, minimal extra work, and I could produce double the amount of crops. For me, it's a windfall of a deal. For you, buy a farm somewhere else. For me, what are you going to tell me? Buy another farm? Shkayek, then I have two farms, two different areas. I have to schlep my equipment, my cattle. It's not negayon. It's for me, that's not beneficial. It's beneficial if I have the two properties next to each other. This neighbor, yes, he's a neighbor, but this buyer, if he buys this side yard, it's on the other side. He'll never have these two properties congruous. So that's it. It's not, he doesn't have the halakhic status of a Ben Metzra. Whereas the southern neighbor does. And Memela, for him, he is a rightful Ben Metzra.
Just a practical question. What was his original plan in joining and having that lot there in Sasbir?
He would sell his existing house. He wants to move. He needs a larger home. He would sell his existing home, and he would now build himself a house right next door. I mean, share the, perhaps the same neighbors, you know, one house over, but he would now be able to have a larger house. That was, now, let's go for more examples, practical examples. Let's talk about a simple case. A guy owns a house, and he wants to extend, or a guy has a lot with a yard. For some reason, the yard's not large enough for his family. He likes when his kids play. He wants a basketball court. I have one of those neighbors. So he needs a side yard to be able to build up a basketball court. Whatever it is, it improves, it enhances his existence in the lot that he has. It improves his living. So that's it. So then for him, he's a Bar Metzra. I'll give you another case. Even, let's say, commercial or a developer. He has one lot. If he buys the lot next door, he could build more homes. Let's say his present lot is 75 by 150, and it's in an R75 zone. Let's say he only needs it to be 50 by 150. Still only could build one house. Now, Baruch Hashem, they passed the law. If you have 60 wide, you can build a duplex. Or 90, you can build one duplex. If he buys the adjacent 75 by 150 lot, now he has two lots that are now 150 by 150. Oh, now I can make three lots out of this. 350 lots. So for me, it's a windfall of a deal. I have one lot right now that's worth X. If I get this adjacent lot, this neighboring lot, hey, now I got three lots. It's not that I have two, I have three. So for me, it improves my existing lot. For you, big deal, you got a lot. Go somewhere else. You got a duplex lot. So there are many duplex lots available in Lakewood. Find a different one, but not this one next door to me. So that's also Bar Metzra. Bar Metzra is that I can improve if I want to develop a neighborhood. So I need many lots. I have to, you know, keep on piecing them together. So yes, that will be a major Bar Metzra. For me, it's a major Bar Metzra. I'm not doing it for residential. I'm doing it for commercial. Yes, I have a right to profit, but it's the farmer was also not doing it for residential purposes. He's doing it for commercial. He needed to make money. It was for his business. Yes, the halakhas of Bar Metzra are applicable.
But he is selling out.
Sorry?
He is selling out. The developer is not like the farmer. He's getting rid of everything.
So what? But I'm doing it to make profit, to make a bigger, better, more efficient development, cost-effective development. So that will be Bar Metzra. The Tshuva say lahed that even for parnasa reasons, that's fine. That's not a problem. So now, but what happens if there's a developer who has a 50 by 150 lot, and yeah, the lot next door is for sale, and look, he would love to develop as many lots as he can. He's exercising his rights to Bar Metzra. He wants the next 50 by 150 lot. He's not a Bar Metzra. Yes, he might be a Metzra, he might be a neighbor, but he doesn't have the halachic benefit of a Bar Metzra. So he'll have two lots that he could develop, so develop a second lot somewhere else. What improvement does he have by having this second lot? Although, yeah, to make more money, not to enhance his initial lot, it's just he has another lot to make money on. So for this developer, if he'll have the lot across the street, he'll make that same extra money. Means we have to see that this lot is so unique that the one across the street's not going to help me. It's this one next door that's going to help me. It improves my existing lot. That's the key. It always has to improve my existing lot. I'll give you another case, and this is Maisim B'Choyim. You have a case, a guy owns a lot, and right next door, but it's mamish next door, there's a bigger lot, and he could build a bigger house. And he would like to buy the lot next door and build himself a bigger house and sell his existing lot. He's not a Bar Metzra. Because it's not improving his existing lot. It might be improving, enhancing his quality of living by having a bigger house, but it has nothing to do with his existing lot. If he would live on the other side of town, he would also want this lot to live in. It has nothing to do with his existing lot. That's not Bar Mitzvah. Bar Mitzvah is if I can expand my house, so now I have more room in my existing house. I expand my backyard. I have something that improves my existing lot. That's Bar Mitzvah. So in this case, the buyer is not a Bar Mitzvah, but the neighbor, the southern neighbor, is a Bar Mitzvah. So you have a Din Torah where you have a buyer versus a neighbor. What do we do here? Let's see if we can find, let's go through different angles. Perhaps we can find the heter here. One angle would be is that the buyer will claim, I got a great deal. It's a discounted price. I can't find this lot anywhere else. What's the reason of Bar Mitzvah? Are you telling me go find a different place? Sure, there are many lots in Lakewood perhaps available, but not at a premium, not at a discounted price. I got a great deal here. The seller is desperate. He's being in the middle of a foreclosure process. He's desperate. And I'm also helping in the subdivision process, so he's giving me a cheaper deal because of that as well. I can't find such a deal anywhere else. Is that a heter of a Bar Mitzvah? Is that an exclusion to the halakha of Bar Mitzvah since I can't go somewhere else? And where would this come from? This would come from a concept that there's a halakha Bar Mitzvah that if I get a house, b'matana, a property b'matana, it was gifted to me, the neighbor can't have a tain and say, Bar Mitzvah, I also want this. I want this gift. No, there's no Bar Mitzvah. It was gifted to me. What do you mean? You want it? You're telling me I should go somewhere else to find these gifts? I would love to find these gifts somewhere else. I can't find these gifts somewhere else. This is unique. The owner here was willing to give me this house. You can't tell me to go somewhere else. There won't be a halakha Bar Mitzvah. So perhaps the same thing, if it will be a discounted price, maybe it's like a gift that you can't tell me to go somewhere else. However, la halakha, we don't pass it like that. La halakha, it's the Rishonim, it's the Shulchanoruch brings it down, that anytime it's a sale, it's a mechira, there's like a low plug, and there's automatically Bar Mitzvah. You can't say, oh, this is like a matana. It's a discounted price. So for that, the Shulchan Aruch says, if it's discounted, sure, you don't have to give over the property to the neighbor at the discounted price. You could ask the neighbor to pay the full premium price, but if he's willing to pay it, you got to walk away. Your benefit here is only that discount. If he's willing to make you whole on that discount, walk away and find a different property. The neighbor needs this property to expand his existing property. And the Shulchan Aruch continues that the neighbor has to pay you for that discount, to pay you the difference, is only if the seller meant that the discount should be for you and wouldn't have sold this property to anyone else for that discount. But what happens if the seller is unaware of market value and would sell this property at a discount even to the neighbor? Then the halacha is that the buyer has to walk away from the deal entirely, and that's it. He can't even benefit from that discount at all. The neighbor picks up the deal at the discounted price. In our case, the seller doesn't care if he's selling it to the neighbor on the right or the neighbor on the left. He'll sell it for the same discounted price. He's desperate. He's being foreclosed on. He doesn't care. So therefore, the neighbor would have a right to usurp the buyer's position even at the discounted price.
You're saying that the buyer who gets thrown out is the one entitled to the difference between the discounted price and the fair market value, not the owner. The owner of
the owner was willing to sell it at that discount price, so he's made whole, so to speak. He's happy with that price.
Sell that property to this guy.
Correct. That's right. Correct. He was paid off. He's out of the equation. Now we just have to deal with the buyer.
That's because the buyer already bought it?
No, even if he's in the process of, let's say he has a contract, that would be the same thing. Now,
as long as he's capable of doing the same subdivision.
Correct, exactly.
Same exact service.
Correct.
Does the seller have a right to choose a buyer even if it violates one metric?
No, it's Mufush Ramov. The seller said adamantly, Loi, I won't sell it. I hate this neighbor. Mamish, we fight every day. Bishum Oifid, if he's going to exercise his right of Bar Mitzvah, I'm pulling the deal. Tough on the seller. He has to learn, maybe work on his meters. But tough on the seller, that's it, it's over. He can't do it. It's still a Bar Mitzvah. It's not up to the seller. This holding a Bar Mitzvah, once I'm here, the holding a Bar Mitzvah is only between buyer and neighbor. The seller has the right to sell it whoever he wants. It's a free country. Let him do what he wants. The tithe is on the buyer. Who asked you to come here? Go somewhere else. The seller has the right to sell. The seller has the right not to sell. The seller can do whatever he wants. The whole thing about Metzah is buyer versus neighbor. Now, perhaps let's try a different angle, another heter.
Well, wait a second. If it's buyer versus neighbor, that means that the seller can say, I'm not going to sell it.
If the seller has a right to pull out of the deal, right, but he's in contract, he can't pull out of the deal. And he can't, well, I'll pull out a deal and then sell it again. The neighbor will exercise his right about Metzah again.
If he sells it to a non-Jew?
Well, if you sell it to a non-Jew, it's hard to take him to Bezin, but there's a whole halacha that makes it forbidden to sell to a non-Jew in Hilchus Bar Metzah, which is not for now. But maybe we'll talk about it a different time. Okay, let's try another angle. Another angle is let's look at the perspective of the seller. Is there something beneficial to the seller to have it sold to this buyer versus, let's say, the neighbor? For example, there's a halacha that if you sell a property and the full price of the property was not paid for at the time of the closing, the seller provided a mortgage, a seller's mortgage along with the property. Let's say the property is $400,000, $200,000 was paid, $200,000 is being carried by the seller. Okay, payable over 5 years, whatever it is, till the buyer, Kishiyachav is Gvula, he has the money to pay off the seller. It's, in other words, it's being sold behamtana. That's the words of Chazal. On credit, b'chai gavna, there is no din of Metzra. Why not? And the Chazal was very sensitive to everyone. The reason is because you can exercise your right about Metzra, and all of a sudden, let's say I'm the seller, I now have to face a seller's mortgage trying to collect from my neighbor. My neighbor has poor credit. I don't have confidence he'll be able to pay. He's a shver baldova. I would never extend him credit. I'd be crazy to extend him credit. You, on the other hand, you, the buyer, you're strong. I had no problem extending you credit. To force, yes, vis-a-vis buyer and neighbor, I have no problem. Neighbor wants to throw buyer out. That's very nice. But not on my cheshbon, not on the seller's cheshbon. The seller has more confidence in the buyer than he has in the neighbor. So in that case, you can't have a din of Metzra because, sure, maybe the buyer shouldn't have stepped in, yes. But mitzad the seller, it would be unfair to the seller to force the seller to have to deal with this neighbor. So Mamela Chazal suspended the halacha of Metzra b'chai gavna. So now let's apply it to our case. The seller is willing to sell, yes, but there's a subdivision process that has to be taken care of in a timely fashion. He's fighting the bank. The guy schlepped his fee. If it takes him 6 months, it's too late. The bank already will foreclose on my property. I have to have the confidence that you know what you're doing and you're going to be on top of the situation and subdivide my property in a timely fashion before the bank gets to me. It's a race between the subdivision and the bank. I have confidence in you. I don't have confidence in my neighbor. That neighbor is a schlepper. He doesn't do that. I can't deal with him. I don't have confidence. Because the din of Bamez will be thrown out.
When it's genuine, when there's a real difference.
Correct. Now, the halacha provides that if the seller says he doesn't care, if he'll extend credit to the neighbor as well, yes, then Bamez is again applicable. In this case, we spoke to the seller, and the seller says he doesn't care. Both neighbors are great. He doesn't care. Subdivision the hen, subdivision the hat. He doesn't care who does the subdivision. Everything is fine. So this heter is not going to be a heter. Let's try another heter. Another heter is as follows. The halacha is that if the seller is selling a property because time is of the essence, menas hamelech, he has to raise money to pay taxes for the melech. Otherwise, I don't know, he'll be taken away. Locked up, who knows what, thrown in the dungeon. In time is of the essence. He has to raise money. He has to provide for a kvura, chulila v'chas, lo'aleinu. He needs to raise capital fast. The Chazal suspended the din of Metzra. Two basic reasons are given to Rishonim, similar reasons, and that is the very nature of a metzra dissuades prospective buyers. If I know that every time I go into a deal, I know that tomorrow I might be facing a challenge from a neighbor, I'll think twice, be more cautious in going into the deal. I'll have to consult the neighbor, feel him out, does he plan on usurping my position or not? Slows down the process. When time is of the essence and the seller needs to sell quick, because I'll say, by message suspended, the guy, let the seller live. He needs to sell off his property. He can't be tied down, burdened with the halachas of Bametzra. And therefore, Bametzra is suspended. Rashi says something similar. Rashi says the Bametzra, in order always to sort of marginalize the Bametzra, the seller always has the option, before he puts it up for sale, to approach the Bametzra himself, offer him at a certain price, and if the Bametzra declines, later on, should the property be sold for that price or higher, you can't tie the Bametzra anymore, because you waived your right. I offered it to you at that price, you waived it. So Rashi, time is at end. I can't be busy offering it to the Bamat. I can't deal with the Bamat. So I got to sell this property. So it's similar to the other Rishayim. Therefore, they suspended the halachas of Bamat. Our case, the seller was desperate. He's being foreclosed on. The Chubis Goini Basroi, a Kadmon, quotes the Zayda, the Bach, who says that this halacha that we suspend for Menas HaMelech, for raising taxes, is even for any Baal Chayv Anas, any type of Baal Chayv that's pressuring the seller, we suspend the halachas of Bametzra. So arguably over here, the seller is trying to sell, time is of the essence, that's it, Bametzra is going to be suspended. Now that really depends how deep into the foreclosure process he is. As those who are familiar with the process, unfortunately, to the Malva, is not a quick process. And if you have a geribon of loiva, he knows how to push this process a year or 2 years even, and stall the bank. So you have to know where you're holding in the process. If he's just getting that threatening lawyer's letter that he's going to be foreclosed on, he has plenty of time, unless he batches up big, he has plenty of time to sell normally, and this is not an unusual time of the essence, and therefore he would not have this heter called Menas HaMelech. Another thing to take care of is that even if it would be Menas HaMelech, the Ramah brings down 2 days. That is, that yes, if the buyer already bought the property, closed on the deal, that's it, Bametzra was suspended, done deal, Bametzra can't come crying. But if he had not yet closed on the deal, he just went into contract, and the Bametzra is also here willing to go into contract and close at the same time that the buyer is, and do everything that the buyer is willing to do, so the seller will be taken care of just like the buyer is taking care of the seller. The Ramah says, maybe B'chai Gavna, Bametzra is applicable. The whole reason why they suspended it is L'tavis HaMeicha. The Meicha is, it's equal. I could do just as good as the buyer could do. The seller is taken care of, and therefore Bametzra would be applicable. So this heta will not be a heta. Let's try another heta, one more heta. And this is the last heta, and we'll see that this heta actually is going to work out. The heta was like this. Buyer, remember, buyer needs to have a big, beautiful house. So the purpose of the reason why he's buying this property is for a house. Simple. Neighbor is buying this property. Why? We questioned the neighbor. He said he would like to have a very large yard. He wants to expand his existing yard. Mind you, I took a site, I went on the tour with a couple of Dayanim. We went down there. The lot was a very large lot, as it is. But Weiss, he wanted a larger lot. Okay, he's entitled. Everyone's entitled. He wants a larger lot. But what he needs it for is for a chotzer purpose, and I need it for a house. The buyer needs it for a house. There's a halacha that if a buyer wants it for a house, and the neighbor wants it for planting, for zriya, even though normally there's a vesisa vayosh of atoiv to allow the neighbor to have it, since for the good of the world, it's better to have inhabitation of the world and have more houses. Letikin ha'olam, letayves ha'olam. We have to take into the consideration of the world that there are more houses, especially in this tight liquid matzav. We need more homes, so therefore we suspended the halachas of Bametzra. If one wants it for a home and one wants it for a chotzer, for zriya that is, then there is no din of Bametzra. Now, in this case, he wasn't doing it for Zri, he was doing it for a chotzer, to enlarge his chotzer. But nevertheless, Rav Moshe and Tshuva and the Prachma, the Aaron, the Kadmon, who say that a chot is like three, even though the chot is just an accessory to the existence of his house. And maybe one could argue, well, for me, it's also for Yisha purposes to have a larger, more comfortable backyard for my house. They both say that this is considered like Zriya. This is not like Bayis. And since the buyer wanted for Bayis and the neighbor wanted for Chatzah, the buyer will win. So here you see another exception, and this exception works. Now, I have to tell you the truth. When I went to the property was not kept up. Grass was very high. Clearly, there was no kids playing in there, or if the kids know how to jump over grass, I don't know. I'm willing to bet on a yoim that that wasn't the intention of the neighbor. The intention was the neighbor was to buy a lot next door. He knows that it's at a discount and then flip it. That was clearly, in my mind, his intention. But we questioned him again and again during the dintara, and he kept on saying, no, my intention, I need a larger yard. His lot, halavayef, alagazot, he had at least a 200-foot property. It was a very large yard, not kept up. I doubt in a million years that he needed a larger, not kept up lot. But hey, if he comes to Bezdin and tells us that that's what he needs it for, you know, Dhamma Barajah, where did he learn to tell him this? He probably was in the mikvah, the coffee room. They told him, don't say you need it for investment purposes to improve your existing lot. Cut off a piece of yours and add it to that and make a duplex or make a larger house, because you're going to tie into that in Bezdin. I heard that for investment purposes, no bar mitzvah. Now, that's somewhat true, that if you just want to amass wealth and just keep on buying properties, no bar mitzvah. But if somehow it could help improve your existing lot, that if you buy the 50 feet here and then you add 10 feet of your own and now it turns into a duplex lot, there would have been bar mitzvah. But he sort of blurred the situation. Khalil not lied, but he'll never lie in Bezin. But blurred the situation in Bezin. And therefore, we had to serve him the psak according to his story. And his story, according to his story, he doesn't have the halakha of bar mitzvah because he's doing it for chotzah and yet he's doing it for a bayis. Had he told us the truth, he probably would have won the dindaira. But, you know, that's the, I guess, the punishment of not telling the truth.
What it didn't work? What happened?
Halakha lemaisa, we paskin that the buyer wins.
Even though it didn't rule, you didn't believe
it. Well, I should... You know, it's one thing that the Garden Hilchos bar mitzvah, which we'll see, and mention one more case if I have time to say. Yes, if you're playing games the other way around to pretend you have a heter when you don't have a heter, yes, we are authorized in a number of halakhos, specifically, uniquely by bar mitzvah, that authors that dayanim to use their seichel to negate bar mitzvah when you think that the bar mitzvah is using a fishy reason. Good. Negate the buyer if you think the buyer is using a fishy reason. But here it's the other way around. Here the bar mitzvah came in. If he doesn't want to tell us the truth, what should we do? We didn't know, I'll be honest with you, we were mesubuk what to do. I called up Rav Zalman Nechemia Goldberg and he says, Dama Bereshe, we asked him to lie in Bezdin. If he lied in Bezdin, serve him that lie and pass him the kafir's lie.
There's a halakha. Don't
Diana
have to believe that they're issuing a din emes?
We have to issue din emes according. It's like here we have. There's a concept also. He does baldin kmeidim dami. If he's being baldin in bezin that he needs it for a yard, hey, I guess he needs it for a yard. We questioned him not once, not twice. We kept on grilling him, and he stood by his own. That's it. He was advised. That's what he should say. So
he really mean like
correct. I know.
How would he want to be told the truth? Understand?
If he would have told the truth and said that he wants his property and he would like to add it, I mean, that's a 50 wide, and he'll put 10 of his own and now get it 60 wide and now build a duplex. So it's that it will enhance his existing property. How so? Well, 10 feet of his existing property, of his side yard, doesn't have much value to him. He could live without that 10 feet. But having this additional 50 feet, it makes his 10 feet so much more valuable, because now it makes his 10 feet sort of attached with this into a duplex or into a much more spacious single family lot. It'll improve value to his... then he's about metzra. But that's not what he said, so tough. Okay, one more case. We only have time for one more case. Another case. Before I go to that, I just want to just summarize a few of the heterim, what we just went through. So we have a heter, a maton, there's no Ba Metzro. We have a head to, if the seller is desperate to pay off taxes, a loan, a foreclosure, that would also negate Ba Metzro. All to save and to take into consideration the seller as well. We have another case, if he's selling it with the seller's mortgage on credit, again, the seller likes this buyer rather than the neighbor, again, to protect the seller's interest. And then we have now that final hetter that worked. If you need it for a chotzer and Yena needs it for a bayis, yishuv odif, a bayis is better for inhabitation, for takonis ha'olam. Okay, let's take one more case.
From an auction,
it's a nice shayla. It's a good shayla, and the atzros l'kan al-kan, I don't want to go into now, maybe after we'll discuss.
This if a shul wants the property next door to them for a parking lot, and some buyer wants to come in and build a house,
so the shul is enhancing the existence of the shul, yes, because that will enhance, but it's only enhancing it for what?
For a
chotzer.
Right.
So the guy will win. And in fact, the Prerach Mate Aaron, his tshuva, was actually talking about a shul. The shul wanted to expand their yard. And he says the buyer wins because he wants it for a house. Okay. One more story, Rabbi Sai. One more story is, this story, I hold it's a shtickle bashkocho, because the story is now. It just happened this past week. Thinking which stories to say. I figured this is Minah Shemaim, I should say over this story. Maisa Shahoy or Shahu, Kahu, is that Reuven was an old man living in a property. The neighbor was eyeing this property for some time, approached him, and throwing out ideas, bids, you know, offers, nothing finalized. V'yayim, Nebuch Reuven is Nifta. Nebuch is Nifta without kids, Loyaleno. His brother and sister inherited this property. They don't live there, they don't need this property. So the brother, on behalf of himself and the sister, decided to sell off the property and sold it to a buyer. Sort of unbeknownst to the neighbor. The neighbor still wanted to buy the property. He was actually started, like I said, even b'chayav of the mace, of the nifta. But, yeah, he still wants that property. V'yayoyim, he finds out that he was beaten to the deal. Someone else took the property. Oh boy, was he screaming, called up him, his wife, called up this buyer. I don't want to repeat things he said, it's not Negeya. Mamish, he gave him a Gvaldika Bracha, and that's, okay, that was the story. And he didn't stop, again, and again, bashmust him in the shul in the neighbor. Mamish, adamant, what did you do? You stepped in, you know I wanted the property, I was dealing, what did you do? Bomay Madofesh, the buyer, sent a hazmana to the neighbor for Bar Mitzvah. Unheard of. Mamish unheard of. Normally the Bar Mitzvah. No. Forget. I don't need your headache. I want to settle this once and for all. I'll be din tayre. If you win, I'll give you back the property. If you lose, you shut up for good. Mamish can't take this social pressure that you're doing to me. Fine. This happened last week. Now, let's understand a little bit. Let's give a backdrop and we'll see if we can have a heter or two over here. The halacha is, let's start, we need a little introduction. The halacha is, another exception to the rule of Bar Mitzvah is if the buyer is a woman. Discriminatory practices. But if a buyer is a woman, there's no din of Bar Mitzvah. Reason being, it's hard for a woman to fend for herself. They're not so wheeling and dealing in real estate. If they have to buy a house as much as men are, I know I'm going to get some comment from the audience that my wife is boy a barrier. But okay, but that's how it is. And Chazal suspended the halakhah of Bar Mitzvah if the buyer is a woman. Because they suspended the halakhah if it's a yosim. There are certain things, because again, remember, we take into account the consideration of the neighbor. Well, hey, we got to also take into account the buyer too. He's also a person. For him, this is like a windfall of a deal. What does that mean? It's hard for them. You're going to tell them, go find somewhere else. They found this. You're going to now send them on a goose chase dealing with people. They can't deal with it. That's it. It's over. They have a right to buy. That's if you have, it's a machloikis, if it's, even if she's married, and Allah, we bask, and even if she's married. And I'll say better, and even if the husband did the buying for her.
With whose money?
With the wife's money. We're going to talk about it. With the wife's money. That even if she's married and he did the buying for her, and so to speak, she has a husband to fend for, no, that's it. Today he decided to fend for him. Maybe tomorrow he'll change his mind. You can't, maybe the husband doesn't want to be busy, you know, running around town. This came along, so he's willing to negotiate the deal, but mamish to butch himself and the research properties, he doesn't have the time for it. They suspended by metzah, even if the husband's buying for the wife. However, the halacha clearly provides that's only if it's from the woman's money. What does that mean? That because we have to know that it's really the woman's. The halacha says, but if not, we suspect that this is just a shtickle. Really, it's the husband buying for himself, puts it under his wife's name to circumvent the halacha. He went to his shir. He heard that if a woman buys it, there's no bar mitzvah. So mainly put it under his wife's name. Rabbi Isa Agav, I should tell you that Shneimol, I know already a couple of stories, lo yaleinu, that a guy did this shtickle. And Nebuch, he got divorced, and the wife won the house. All right, but I know of a story that he put under his brother's name to Mirbich Nakhazim, and then he got into a fight with his brother. I know two of these stories already, and the brother walked away with the property. It's under my name. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't remember the deal. All right, Shane. All right, so all together, better have a good marriage or a good brother. But all right, you never know. McKenna Schrissen. All right, but the bottom line is, the halacha is that if you're trying to fake out and manipulate and abuse the process, you're going to lose. Because Chazal are here authorized to use their extra sense to realize that there's a game going on. Okay, fine. Now let me take it to the next step. Watch this, Rabbi Isaac Gevaldik. What happens if husband and wife buys the property jointly? Comes along the neighbor and says, Bametzra. And Bametzra says, Madam, I understand. I'm not touching your half because you're a woman. But you, Mr., on your half, you have no excuse. I'm taking over your half, and I'll be a shutuf with your wife. I have no problem. Fine with me. It's for investment purposes anyway. I don't mind. It's fine. It's good for me. Can I exercise the metra at least on the half that the husband owns? Zakter Amar from a Chubis Rivash, not. Why not? Why not? Zakter Rivash, because the halacha is that a husband has rights to his wife's property. It's part of Nichsi Mulug, he has a Din Peiris. Altogether, it's like one, and he acts on her behalf, and what's hers is like his. So, Zok, the Ramah, the Rivash, hold cup, it's Gaval de Kacheshman, is that Bivas Achas, when they jointly purchased his property, the husband wore two hats. He wore his own hat, and he wore his wife's sheitel. He has two hats going on here. Now, you can't throw him out from his wife's chelik, because you have to stay away from the woman. Okay, so that means the husband's going to stay in here no matter what, or at least on her chelik. So now, what are you training that you are a bar mitzvah and I'm a tzigikim and I'm a fremda, I'm a foreign individual, I'm no longer a foreigner. I'm also a bar mitzvah. I'm just as much a bar mitzvah as you are. Because I'm my wife. So mitzad my wife, I'm here. Now you're here also, they say that, no problem. But if I'm here and I close first, one bar mitzvah can't throw out another bar mitzvah. So if they buy jointly, there's no more dinner by Metzrah, not only on the wife's chelik, but even on the husband's chelik. Beautiful, la halacha. All right, good, we have the chap, we understand it. Let's take it to the next step. Comes along the Ramah, v'yeshayimrim. The Ramah says, just like Chazal suspended the halachas about Metzrah when the woman is the buyer, yeshayimrim, the Chazal suspended the halacha when the woman is the seller. Similar reason. She cannot be busy with a metzra, and she cannot be busy with a slowed down process and deal, be burdened, saddled with the halachas about metzra, dissuading potential buyers. We have to allow her to sell as she wishes, as quickly as she can, and get out. So therefore, there's no din about metzra for a seller who is a woman as well. Good? So now let's go back to our story. Our story, if you recall, the man died, Nebuch, and he left over the house to his brother and sister, a woman. Half the house belongs to the brother, half the house belongs to the sister. Comes along the brother, acting on behalf of himself and the sister, and selling the property. I'm the buyer. So if I buy this property, and now the Bemetzer wants to usurp my position, I could tell the Bemetzer, hold off. The half that I'm buying from the sister, there's no din of Bemetzer. She's a lady. Spend it. No din of Bemetzer. I, her brother, was negotiating the deal and representing her. I don't care. It was her half. So for her half, there's no longer din of Bemetzer. Now, you want to throw me out because I bought the brother's half and I'm a tigger giver. No. I'm a Bemetzer. Don't you realize? What's a Bemetzer? Because I own her half. So I'm here to stay. I'm here for good just like you're here for good. We're both Bemetzers here. So I'm a Bemetzer as much as you're a Bemetzer here. So if I'm a Bemetzer and you're a Bemetzer, you can't throw me out.
The
even.
Brother's ownership what is the brother's ownership in his sister's tailor? Because the closing already happened.
For me, I bought both, and not on the brother's ownership and the sister's chelik. It's my ownership of the sister's chelik. I bought the sister's chelik, so I'm here for good. And that I bought the brother's chelik, I did it bevazachas, so I became a bametzer bevazachas when I went into this deal. I closed, it's over, you can't throw me out.
And if the title were made while the sale was pending, instead of that.
Oh, then it's going to be a whole different dynamic, because the halacha is when two bametzers swoop in together, then they have to share the prize. So they also have to share the property. So on the sister's chelik, I'll own it completely, and on the brother's chelik, I'll have to share with the neighbors. I'll get one quarter, he'll get one quarter. At the end of the day, I'll have three quarters of one quarter. That might be enough of a deterrent to send the neighbor flying, because he might not be interested in just a quarter. But yes, had there been...
You don't own the brother's share yet. You're not a bar mitzvah yet.
Well...
You're not a bar mitzvah until you buy the...
Correct, but I hear, but arguably... I would taina, perhaps, and I hear your taina, that since I'm in contract on her chelik together with his chelik, everything is, I'm not going to buy his chelik before hers. And you're trying to usurp my position for the closing of his chelik. Well, when we close on his chelik, I'm also going to be closing on her chelik, so I'll be here. But I hear, you're taining good. You're taining good. That had it not been closed, maybe I'm not yet a bamet, and this ramo would not be applicable. One more heter, Rabbi, and I'll let you go. One more heter in this case was, if you recall, the Bametzer didn't take the buyer to a dintayer. The buyer took the Bametzer to a dintayer. The halacha is that the rights of Bametzer have to be exercised immediately. You have to be Teveya Bametzer right away, go to a Bezdin. There's a halacha that if the property was closed on a Chalamoid, don't ask me how, but if it was closed on a Chalamoid and the neighbor waited till after Yontif to tine a Bametzer, those few days, the shach brings down, he didn't forfeit his right of Bametzer because he doesn't do business on Chalamoid. Fine, so we're given an extension. But you have a matter of days to exercise your right. Now, I don't know. It's, by the way, from the time he knows about it, he discovers it. If he didn't yet discover it, even if it's 2 years later, when he discovers it, it's at that time. There's actually a
sale. He should have discovered it.
Maybe I didn't. No, how do I know? The seller sold it. How do I know?
It
could be. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's like that. Sometimes it's like that. So now, in this case, he knew about it. He had an ample enough time to be tevei bametzer. He was spending his time instead to cause social pressure and bashmutz me in the shul, bashmutz me by my neighbors, and bashmutz and call me up and scream and scream and scream. That he had time for. But not once did he say, bametzer and get out. Not once did he send me a hazmona. Adarabba, I sent him the hazmona to get this headache off my back. Oh, so
he didn't ask him to sell it to him or something.
Correct, he didn't. So, Hayoiz, he never exercised his bametzer in a timely fashion. That too causes a forfeiture of his din of bametzer. So for two different reasons, bametzer would not be applicable in that case.
Kind of, I didn't come to business, but I got out of money, so I figured it would be worked out.
By the time you got out of money, you already spent weeks, literally weeks, bashmutzing me. In those times, instead of bashmutzing, just send me as money.
No, but it's also something I sent him as money right away.
If you send me as money, then it's fine. That's no problem. And not a problem to pay. I don't give you a head to bashmutz. But at least you won't forfeit your right about Oh, so then he knows it's coming to a dintera. Okay, fine, in economy, maybe that will work, but that's not what happened. He sent it to him after weeks of being attacked. Okay, so Rabbi, I just want to make a sikkum of a few more heterim that we come out from this story, and that is, here you have a heter that, I guess, Akron region, if you don't exercise your right in a timely fashion, you forfeit your right of bar mitzvah. Second is if you sell to a woman, if the buyer is a woman, or even if she's buying together with her husband, there's no din of bar mitzvah. And another head, the third head is if the seller is a woman, there's no din of bar mitzvah. So today, Rabbi, we discussed a half a dozen or more of heterim. There's another half a dozen or more heterim. There's a lot of heterim, many heterim. It's not regalachas. But I can tell you, bar mitzvah is very negeya, but is usually not lahalacha exercisable, because you'll see, by and large, one heter will eventually be applicable. All right, Rabbi, say shkoyach for listening. We should be zeicha to have that v'sisa v'yashvai tov when we do business, that anhoga tova in consideration of everyone involved. All right, shkoyach. Oh, also, Rabbi, there are CDs in front of you from the Beis Din. There are about 25 shirim. If you want to know more about bar mitzvah, you can take the CD.
Buyer or a seller or an agent, for that matter, have an obligation to approach bar mitzvah before a sale.
Oh, I should have discussed that. The Paiskim say no. What does that mean? That the London bar mitzvah you should have approached, and if you don't, then it's buyers beware, you might be usurped your position. If you risk it and choose not to, you don't have to.
Right.
Correct. But it's a tzitzis yashar to stay away. If you don't, you run the risk of being usurped.
If there are two bar mitzvahs, do they weaken each other's position?
No, they just share it. I mean, weaken, they dilute it. They both come together.
If it's an investment property, it's the same right as the investor to exercise the investor right. It's not his own.
It's the same thing. As long as the bar mitzvah could prove how it's beneficial, that it will improve his property, not because he wants another property to develop. He has to show why this improves his existing property. In other words, the yardstick is, if the bar mitzvah would be able to get that same property across the street, would it be just as beneficial as this property? If yes, then it's not a mile.
He could fit another house if he has a house next door.
So he could fit another house across the street too.
No, because now he has a little extra of his land.
Oh, you mean, oh, that means totality, then that's good. Then,
is there a chiluk of the sellers of Goy or Friday?
There's a difference, yeah, and I didn't want to get into it here, but yes, if there's a seller's of Goy, that's another exception to bar mitzvah, but it has its limitations. In Lakewood, and Friday maybe also the Chus Ranach, but in Lakewood, very often that exception is not applicable. The alumnus of that is because I'm helping, in essence, the neighbor by getting rid of the Goy. But in Lakewood, where by and large all the buyers are Jewish, so I don't need you to do me this toiva. I could have done it myself. So very often that won't be negated.
If a metzor is a contract purchaser, does he have the same rights?
In a bar mitzvah din of a contract, like
in other words,
case,
I'm under contract for this property, and I want this property now.
So he was worried that, and until I close, I'm not a bar mitzvah. And he's probably right on that. I was just saying, in our case, it's different because our case, the whole nature of our bar mitzvah was for the purposes of closing, and with the closing, it's bar mitzvah, the sister and brothers came together.
I do have an equitable interest in the property if I'm under contract.
Yeah, but that might not be enough. That might not be.
What if I want the next lot, not the next lot, but I want my kid to live there?
That's
for bias. But so that own it.
Let's say the kids will own it.
My kids will own it.
But the Chubis Rav Moshe, holds that for a kid is also fine.
Even if the kid owns it.
You look up the Chubis Rav Moshe you want. I think it's Chilek Aleph Mem Dalid. Good. Testing my ears. Mem Dalid. And there's also Urch Hashuchin. Sif Samach. We can look it up. It's national like that as well. The kids will be there.
No, I'm not enhancing my property, but it's supposed to be.
Push the head to joint purchases. Husband and wife.
Is that like a blanket head to
the chance? Okay, I have to take the child of that. I'm sorry.
So the married Meshach would say that if you're selling it afterwards and you're not holding on, you want to say that although so much noise there, because they're only selling one part. So it sounds like if you're not staying with it, then that's not a metzvah. A metzvah is if you're staying on the property, not if you're selling it.
If I'm selling my existing one to buy the new one, there won't be a bar mitzvah.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where the bar mitzvah is being salik b'lekeya, and he's not intending to hold on to the karak, he's intending to sell.
Correct.
So they're not mashma.
He's not improving his
own. You're saying it makes a difference. If you're selling both together, that's also called.
Correct. Because then you're a developer. The word is you have to improve your existing property. So somehow it's improving
not
the property.
It's not clear from them. You're saying there's a difference at the end of the day.
Correct. As long as the improvement in existing properties.
Rob said that if a builder, right,
wants to get the next door property. There's economies of scale when you build two houses at the same time. You save money, but you're not enhancing the property.
So let me tell you, that economy of scale could work even if the house is across the street. Because I'll have the tile will do double, and the you know, everyone will do double. That's not enough. It has to be unique because it's next door. So if you tell me that it's more, I'm going to save more money because it's next door rather than it will be just across the street, then I'm asking. But if not, not.
Quick example, a joint purchase. So you're talking about this with the husband and wife. So it might not be your wife, 50% of the property, of the money, in fact.
But it's your money, not hers.
No, you gave it over to Matel.
It's a haroma. It's a haroma.
That's called a haroma. Have a guy who's renting a house. Like, does he have any time on the house?
So that's also a tumult amongst the poiskim, Laloka, if a renter has kedima of a bar mitzvah or not.
So what's...
Yeah, you're going to have to ask the shalot together. It's a different variable.
And then how about if you make a lease to buy, you know, if you get around a lease to buy? If the guy doesn't know about it, come renter, and I'm buying from an next door neighbor.
Good.
And the guy doesn't know about it, I close.
You closed already, good.
No, I'm going to let that close, and the guy doesn't know.
The owner doesn't, you mean the neighbor doesn't know?
The guy that I'm renting from doesn't know.
Oh, you mean the landlord doesn't know?
Right.
So then again, you have to know if a tenant has a mile of a bar mitzvah or not.
Okay, he's going to buy it. He has this house for investment. He's going to buy it if he wants.
Well, what does he want next door for? What does he need it for?
I don't know. I don't know.
He likes to buy a lot of units. He likes to own as many units as
that's
he can.
That's not bar mitzvah. Bar mitzvah is because...
I'm living in a house now. Let's say Rabbi Cohn owns it. And I'm buying right next door. And he doesn't know about it.
Right. But why would he want the house for?
Investment.
So that's not bar mitzvah. It has to be that somehow it's improving his existing. Shalom. It has to be, again, always you have to look at it's improving my existing property. If it doesn't improve existing property, then no dinam b'mezrah.
The first mindset is making his house bigger, or he's building a new house?
The buyer was building a new house. He wasn't making it bigger because he was on the other side. He was on the north side. Okay. But the neighbor was widening his yard.
So it doesn't make...
Story number two, Grusha came into it as well. In the sense that you have a brother, dies, and have kids, goes to brother and sister. Appeal to Grusha's sister doesn't...
You know, but there was a will. It's
so
fine.
The bar mitzvah, though, can bring all that into the entire...
If that's all, right now, before this Hashala bar mitzvah, who owns this house, both brother and sister are masking, it's 50-50. So now we know, that's now an established fact.
That's that gets established. Right. And we'll talk and bring that in. In other words, husband and wife owning something, joint property, bring that in, proof that the wife bought her, had money in the bank account.
Somehow, or if it was really, today, rather, very often joint properties, the Bezen will award the house, half the house.
What? I mean, after the fact, but not shot that
Mechila. I believe they'll get divorced. What happens to the house?
That's Lacha.
I'm just showing, so that could be indicative that the house really owns half of it.
Is that the case? Meaning it's very nice. As long as often the husband earned it, do they file jointly?
Sometimes, you know, the Shrep paid half the down payment and first we'll establish this and then we'll, correct.
Do I have to be scared not to tell him or the won't make a difference?
It's not going to make a difference. I mean, whatever, you do what you do. I mean, you'd be probably better off closing and then deal with the situation later.
Like a piece of land to develop, but somebody else, and then I want to buy the piece next to it.
Like you own this piece?
No. I want to buy like a big piece.
Good.
To develop, to build houses. But there's somebody that owns next to it. I don't know if
and he's a developer?
No, he wants to develop and he feels it's better if you have 10 acres as opposed to having 5 acres.
So it will enhance his existing property. So he
will it or won't it?
I don't know. I'm asking you. It might. He'll be able to build a bigger development, have more options, make more, you know, subdivisions, get more houses in, squeeze in a few more, you know, shoe it in, you know. So it might be beneficial then.
Is there a chiv on the buyer to form the neighbor?
So.
Because there's a difference if he went to closing or not, he was saying.
Right, so look at it. He doesn't have to inform the neighbor beforehand, but he's doing it, he's proceeding at his risk. Because bad to him, he should have. That means you're supposed to stay away. So if you want to get in here, consult him. You want to risk going in there without consulting, proceed at your own risk, but then he'll usurp your position.
Right, but in certain positions, we said that if he closes already, it makes him a
stronger. No.
We said that earlier.
Only, when you're a shut, when you have, right, in that case, correct.
So in that case, then
you could do that.
You could dupe him and then you.
Exactly, correct. That will work. All right, Shkoy for listening.
All right.
What's with the transferring shares of an entity that owns property? If the benefits were there or not? There's an entity that owns a property.
Right, so why not?
Because you're not selling the property, so yet.
Yeah, but you're selling a chelik of the property. The entity is just the vehicle that holds the property, right?
Okay, and if the entity owns two properties, so part of it.
Then that's going to be challenging. You know, that's going to be another heter, because whenever you sell two properties, there's no
dinam ba'metzer. You're selling the one, but through the shares of an entity.
But how does that work in the entity that you could be only a member for what?
The entity, that you're going to buy 50% of the entity, which represents every co-op. That's how a co-op essentially works.
So you're only going to consider, then it will be by Mesra, why not?
Would be, even though you're not really selling the land, you're selling...
You're selling the entity for that land.
For other shiurim by Rabbi Kahan, or for additional information, please contact Beis Din Meisharim at 732-905-3388. Thank you.